It's good to be here again. I'm excited about the things of the Lord. I'm excited for the opportunity that I had this day. You know, brothers and sisters, one of these days it's going to be the last day. And one of these days it's going to be the last worship service. And one of these days someone is going to accept Jesus Christ, and hours later Christ is going to return to take them home. Hallelujah, what a picture. I'd like to challenge you with a thought tonight. If you had the opportunity tonight to go to heaven, would you go? If you had the opportunity tonight to go to heaven, would you go? Or is there maybe just something that would still want to keep you here? I've been challenged by that a number of times. The other night, Marie and I were sitting in the living room, and I looked at her and I said, "Hun, I said, if I could drive to heaven tonight, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I get homesick for heaven. I get very lonesome for heaven. I want to be where Jesus Christ is. The one who saved me. The one who set me free and be in His presence." Apostle Paul says, we see dimly today. But one day, and there's a song that the Fox brothers sing, and the title of it is, "The First Look." It's a picture of them standing, and they're seeing across the shore, and they're seeing the portals of heaven being opened. And the song goes on to expound of what's taking place. They're rising, and the choir of heaven is about to sing. And little babies who could not talk, who were blind, are now seeing. Crippled children are walking. What a picture. What a picture tonight of heaven. What a beautiful place. Do we really believe there is such a place? Do we really believe that that exists? Yes. Tonight, heaven is real, and so is hell. As we think about that, that's not the subject this evening. God led me to a very precious institution that God instituted, and God wants that institution to thrive. God wants that institution to be holy. God wants that institution to be reproductive, and God wants to come forth from that holy people. It's called the precious place of home. Home tonight. When I say that word and I bring that focus into your mind, what is home to you tonight? What is home to you tonight? You know, brothers and sisters, I'm starting to realize something. Across this land, many faces that sat in the presence of places like this, behind those faces is a place of hurt. It's a place of crying. It's a place of torment. And they call it home. Brothers and sisters, God desires for us to be blessed in our marriage relationships. To understand what it knows and what we should know. To love, to receive, to give, to be an intimate part of spouses. And a result of that love is children. Oh, those precious children, those beautiful babies, those little children that God gives us. By the way, those children are not yours. They're the Lord's. The Lord has only lent them to you to train them and teach them the ways of the Lord, and then to release them again into the hands of an Almighty God for them to relate and to speak and relate and hear the voice of God and build a relationship with the Almighty Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would like to look at a few scriptures tonight which speak very profoundly into a godly home. A godly home. You know, there was a young man once fell in love with a young lady. This young man made a statement. He said, "Before we were married, I loved her so much I could have ate her," he said. Well, the marriage went on for a little while, and all at once he said, "I wish I would have ate her." See, that's where the degree of his marriage had gone. Let me ask you a personal question here tonight. How many of you have been married 30 years? Anybody like that here? Yeah. Oh, yeah. 40? Any 50? Any 60? Not quite. 55 minutes. We're real close thereby. Tonight, tonight, let me ask you a personal question. Do you love your spouse more than you loved her or him when you married them? Do you? Do you? Or where are we at in this relationship? You know, it's easy in home to come home. It's easy to be at home. It's easy to let down my guard. It's easy to let my stinking shoes wherever I desire to let them fall, to let my clothes drop wherever I choose to let them drop, and then live in expectance for Marie to pick up after me. Or it's easy for her to look at me and begin to growl and say, there's some things about you I don't like. And it's easy to begin to banter back and forth, and we begin to focus on those things. One couple came into the presence of a counselor, and the husband said, man, this woman is mean. She's just mean. And the counselor looked at her and he said, well, he said, was she that way when you married her? He said, well, no. He said, well, what'd you do to her? See? What'd you do to her? You see, we get to these points, and home, there's a plaque that says, home is where my hat, I hang my hat on the wall, and I prop my feet up, and I am myself. But you know what happens? You know what happens? Oh, when we court them young sisters, when we attempt to attract them, because we desire to, by the way, I believe most marriages in our world today, probably, most marriages and relationship outside of the church are based upon lust and not love. That's why we come and see today, and it's about the 35-year mark, where a lot of marriages are going what I call haywire. And they're looking at each other and they're saying, who are you? Who really are you? And you know what happens, brothers and sisters? Because we violate the principles of God's teaching, we say we fall in love and we're infatuated with each other. By the way, brothers, today do you still run around that car and quickly open up that door for her to get in and then you gently close it? Or do you say, wow. I've witnessed this scene in a church parking lot and it cut me to the heart. For quite a while, in the last few years, I confess, maybe it's because I'm getting older, I opened my wife's car door. And we were in a church parking lot, and this young couple, well, they were younger than us, and she seen this, and she went over to her car door, and she stood on the side of her car. And she just stood there. And of course, he's talking. Finally, he comes to the car, and he looked at her, and it's like, what do you want? She said, will you open my door? You can open your own door. You can open your own door. That man refused to open the door of that car for the woman that he said he loved. Listen, I'm going to tell you something very bluntly here tonight. God have mercy on you as a leader. If you take a sister, by the way, if you are in the church, if you are born again, and you are under the blood of Jesus Christ, sanctified and justified, the woman that you take by her side, if she is in the same condition as you, that's a sister. That's a sister in Christ. And as I begin to look at my wife in that perspective, my whole approach to her changed. My concept changed. Yes, she is my wife. And I dearly love that woman. I think back at the beginning of our marriage and the first year of our marriage, there were vouchers on our marriage. That marriage will not last 1 year. We fought and we quarreled and we knew how to get at each other. We knew what it meant to give the silent treatment. And we would shut up for days and there was no relationship. Inside we were seething and we were upset and we were angry. Yet we called this love. We called this love, brothers and sisters. These things ought not so to be. And tonight, God has spoken profoundly into my heart. Us leaders are largely to blame for the way that our homes are today. Amen, leaders? We are largely to blame. It's so easy to put in an 8 or 10 or 12 or 14 hour day at work. And then I come home and I'm tired, I'm wore out, and I really don't care about what's happening at home. And mom is in tears because that day the children tried her to the element of her existence and her patience. And she's crying out, please help me. And I really don't care. All I want is an easy chair. I want to be able to kick back that lazy boy and prop up my feet, and whatever happens, happens. I don't care. It's time for me to rest. Listen, brothers, we have been called to an element and a level of accountability like never before that we've ever been called to in the history of time. We have all these machines, these gadgets which are bombarding and speaking into the home. By the way, I have a daughter and her husband. She walked out on God at one point. She turned her back on God and she walked out. In the process of time, she married a man who was not a believer. He didn't have the hint or the trace of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There were three precious children born into that home. Get the picture? The baggage is mounting. The baggage is mounting. And by the way, young people, let me speak into your heart. If you're looking for a spouse, if you feel led that God is leading you to someone, the things that are not corrected prior to your marriage will only multiply after you're married. You know, we have this vision, this concept that, okay, when I get married, everything is going to change. The old saying, the secular saying says this, before I was married, it was honey or pie. After I was married, it was roadhog or die, see? That's how the world looks at it. And in a sense, brothers, tonight I beg of you, there is a weight upon us like never before. And you know, I keep crying and I say, I must get it right. How am I going to get it right? I'm going to have to follow the authority of God's Word. Do you really believe that what God spoke into the Word of existence, He knew what He was speaking? Yes, He did. But we seem to violate that. We seem to think I know better, do we not? We seem to think that I've got it together. Us men are a lot like bulldozers, aren't we? Aren't we? Brothers, how many times in your home did you know there was something wrong? There was something not quite right, and you only pushed the throttle of the dozer a little further ahead. Let's move on. We're going to push a little harder. Or maybe you got to the point where you don't really have the relationship of one of your children. And so the child begins to cry out and to rebel, and you only beat them harder. How many of you brothers here tonight are demanding respect in your home? How many of you are requiring that I am the boss, and it's about me? And you pay attention to what I'm saying. Yet you're not portraying a godly image of what Christ called you to portray in the life of your home. I'll tell you a little story and then I must get to the Word of God. One day there were three sons, I do believe, and a father out on the side of a hill. And these sons and this father had not exactly seen eye to eye on a situation. And as they conversed, and as they related to the situation, there were some strong opinions. There was a mother watching from a window. She was observing this situation. She made a conclusion. Here's what she said. There are three young bulls and an old bull operating on the same farm. We're farmers. She made that observation. That old bull was me. That old bull was me. Brothers, tonight I come to understand something in the lives of my sons. I am blessed by my sons today. Those sons keep calling into South Carolina. Dad, what are you doing? How's the preaching going? How's the Spirit of God working? You see, they care. They care. But yet at that moment, I come to grips with some things. It's not all about me. It's not all about what I think. It's not all about what I desire. But there comes a time when a father must begin to release now the things that I have taught and instructed those children into the hands of a living God for them to experience a relationship with God. You know, I'm going to tell you something here tonight. There is scripture that says husband and wife must cleave to each other. They must become one. And you know what that means? In-laws, father-in-laws, mother-in-laws, whatever we are here tonight, dad and mom, that means we must let go. We must let go. We must let go. I have watched this thing of a manipulation in the relationship of young spouses who are married, and behind the scene as an in-law or a father or a mother, and they are the neck that is twisting that head. You see? They are a neck that is twisting that head. And from there, they still want the authority to be able to manipulate the lives of those that have come together. Listen, listen. We must understand some important principles here tonight. Let's see what the Word of God says. First of all, I would like to establish the principle of order. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the first few verses. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. But I would have you know, and we must get this right, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Listen, unless I get too haughty, unless I get too proud, and I think I've got it together, I must always remember that my authority is Christ. And unless I think that I have elevated myself to the point that I am quite some guy now tonight, let me remember I am still subject to the authority of Christ. But the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is man. Sisters, we've got to get something right. We've got to reverse the cycle of culture in our time today. We must stand and declare, I will follow the way of Jesus Christ and the instruction thereof. And I will be that person to stand in the gap. I am willing to be crucified. I am willing to allow the flesh to die that my family, my spouse, can experience what God has called us to experience. It says that the head of the woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, having established that, I would like to go to the book of Ephesians tonight, which speaks very profoundly into the life of marriage. And tonight, I want us to think about our marriages. You know, in the secular world, to admit that I am wrong spells defeat. But you know, in the realm of God's authority, to admit that I have sinned is victory. And hallelujah tonight for victory. As a young man, I begin to learn that after about the first year of my marriage. And God spoke so profoundly into my heart, and He said, Brother Denny, you've got to get it right. You've got to begin to see what I am attempting to tell you. And so I begin to love my marriage. And I'll give you this little illustration quick, and then I'll go to Scripture. One day we were baling hay. Ah, I love to make nice hay. Beautiful green hay. I mean, I love hay that tests in the 20s. And when you pick out a handful of that hay, there's leaves all over it. I had such a load behind an old Chevy truck I had. And I was heading home, and out to the west, the storm clouds were rolling, and as I recall, it was beginning to thunder. Back home, I had a precious wife that was feeling my heartbeat. She jumped in the car to come see where I was, and in our haste, we missed each other. I slid by her, and she got by me, or however that was, and she was on the other side of me. And so I whipped my truck door open and she put the car into reverse to come back to see what I wanted. You know the rest of the story. You know what happened. Woo, there went the truck door. It was gone. I looked at that truck door and it was hanging to the front of this pickup and I'm standing in there. And that moment, I was put to the test. You know what happened? The old bulldozer inside of me began to growl. And I began to push the throttle. Woman, what do you think you're doing? What are you doing? See? Well, it was quite obvious what she was doing. She came to see and to help me, did she not? I had to immediately repent. God spoke into my heart. Is that the way of love? You know, the Bible teaches us leaders to view our spouses, those lovely wives, in honor as the weaker vessel. I never could understand for the life of me why any man would take a woman by his side to take her home, to beat her, to put her down, to humiliate her, to frustrate her, and all these things. I can't understand that. Simply let her alone. Simply don't do it. Let her alone. Why be involved in that kind of a relationship? Why? And it's about as ungodly as they get. Yeah, but you know what? In our culture today, we paint this pretty face. How are you doing? How's your marriage gone? Alvin, how's your marriage gone? Oh, it's gone great. And on the way to the church, I had my worst brawl I've had in years. Oh, it's gone great. It's gone great. You see, we have that ability to paint that picture. But in reality, our homes are suffering. Our homes are suffering. Our homes are crying. Listen to this. Redeeming the time. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Satan has made an all-out attack upon the very institution of home. If you don't believe that, analyze the devices that you are battling. Analyze those. What is it? We are so busy, leaders are so busy, they do not have time to think about much else but make a living. I had 7 children, by the way. My wife and I were blessed with 7 beautiful children. 4 daughters and 3 sons. And boy, you talk about homeschooling all of them. You talk about helping them with their first car. You talk about helping them with insurance. You talk about helping them with the schooling and all these things. And I'll tell you what, it spells one thing. It spells labor. And it spells very little sleep. Yet in all of that, there is an accountability that lied upon my shoulders to teach those children the way of the Lord. And greater than that, to live what I'm teaching. How is it that it's so easy to say, don't do as I do, but do as I say? Well, the cry today is, I don't hear your voice because your actions are speaking so loud. I can't hear what you're saying. Your actions are speaking so loud tonight. Leaders, I'm going to put a point of question to you. Do you love your wife? Don't tell me yes if you don't. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit tonight. Do you love your wife? And if you tell me that you do, if you tell the Spirit of God that you do tonight, what are the evidences of that love? I want to see some evidences. I want to hear about some evidences of that love. I had a cousin one time who had a warped concept of what it meant to be a leader, and he would have his family eat hot dogs, and he ate steak. See, I deserve that. Well, I'm going to read you some scriptures here in a bit. Well, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Tonight, the will of the Lord, when it comes to concerning the home, is that we have godly homes. We have a safe place to teach our children to love one another. Home should be that cove away from all that we face out there. And we ought to be able to come home and somewhat just be ourselves, right? And to love one another, to cherish one another, and to be rejoicing that we are there. But understanding what the will of the Lord. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. There are many couples who are painting the pose of a good marriage, but they're divorced in spirit. They simply live in the existence of the presence of each other. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you as a spouse or as a couple in the years of your marriage do not continue to cultivate that relationship, when your children are gone, you're going to look at each other and you're going to say, "Who are you? Who are you?" Listen, God instituted the marriage in this manner. It's husband and then wife. And that relationship should never be broken. But I have watched situations where children had the ability to make a wedge between mom and dad. Oh, ours used to try us. They'd come running and they'd say, "Dad, can I do this?" What'd mom say? Well, mom said no. I said, "Then no stands. No more questions." Or they'd run to her and they'd say, "Mom, can we do this? I want to go somewhere. Please let me go." What'd dad say? Dad said no. Yet I've watched children with the ability to drive that wedge. And we see parents begin to pick favorites. Let's learn from history. Remember the accounts of Jacob, Esau, all those accounts? Let's learn from those things, brothers and sisters. Your children should be of equal value in your eyes. They should be of equal value in your eyes. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." When is the last time you thanked God for your spouse? When is the last time that you said, "Heavenly Father, I truly from my heart thank you for so and so. I thank you, God, for this marriage. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord." Does the fear of the Lord present itself in your home tonight? Is God's reverent fear prevalent in your home tonight? Or is it a place where we know little about that? And we quickly, as leaders, will jump on this next verse. "Wives, wives, wives, oh wives, pay attention. Hear you what I about have to say." It's this. Well, what do you want to say? "Wives, what? Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." But you know what? The husband is not finding any submitting to the authority of Christ. Oh, I marvel at this. Many leaders today have the concept that I can do anything I choose in life. It matters none, really, what I do, because I am leading this ship. So in expectancy, they expect the sister by their side to be modestly dressed, to be covered, and to live what Scripture teaches. Yet they walk around like a Hollywood movie star. And they're engaged in everything that the secular world presents itself to be engaged in. Yet they live with that expectancy of their spouse. And then they wonder, "Why is my wife depressed? Why is my wife down in the dump? Why is she discouraged? Why does she relate to me as she relates?" Listen, brothers. Listen, I say again tonight, the larger accountability lies on us. And in this passage that I am reading, take note, brothers, how often the command is given, "Husbands, love your wives." One part it says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Leaders, do we have any bitter leaders here tonight that are bitter with their spouse? Let's just be real and honest in the presence of the Lord tonight. Let's allow God to fix anything in the marriages that are ailing and triumphantly move on to raise and train children for the glory of God. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And I say this, sisters, I speak gently, but I speak clearly. If you're having problems submitting to your own husband, I will guarantee you that you're having problems submitting to the Lord. I will guarantee you that. If you cannot find submission in your earthly image of that head, you're going to have great problems in submitting to the will of the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Notice this parallel. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be what? To their own husbands. Let's not forget the rest of that verse. In everything. Wives, how many times have you suggested to your husbands that we do something? And the husband says, honey, I really don't think we can do it now financially. I really think we can wait. Well, for the moment, you've let it drop, okay? But you come back a couple days later and you take another shot at it from a different angle. Hey, I think I figured out how we can do this. Well, will you hear me out? And the husband says, no, I don't think we can do this. Well, you really know, dear, that we do need this, right? You see? And we keep working at it. We keep working at it. We keep working at it. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if your husband is not a strong leader. He's going to cave. The knees are going to bow. He's going to buckle and he say, go do it. And then you know what happens? We pay the consequence down the road, don't we? We pay the consequence down the road. Maybe we've overspent in an area because this is what we wanted, see? Down the road, whoa, work slow. I'm having a tough time making payments on this whole thing. I didn't have the money to do it. I'm having a tough time making payments on this thing. And guess what happens? The husband looks at his wife and he says, well, really, it's your fault. Really, it's your fault. You wouldn't submit. She says, well, why'd you let me do it? Well, because you nagged on me. You see? And here we go. Here we go. Wives, in everything. And there is nothing greater, leaders, tonight, outside of the love of Jesus Christ than the love of a woman. There's nothing greater. And therefore, we must love as Christ commands us to love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And let's get the last part of this verse. And he gave himself for it. Tonight, as a leader, have you given yourself for your spouse? Have you given yourself for your spouse? I want us to analyze our life. I want us to analyze our action, our conduct, our relationship to the one that we say we love. Had a couple. They were probably in their near 70s in our home one night. They had a tendency, they both wanted to talk at the same time. It doesn't work very well, does it? And boy, they were going at it. They were bantering back and forth. And finally, the wife looked at him and she said, will you be quiet so I can talk? He said, well, will you just shut up? It's my turn to talk. And this is how this thing went. Here they were. I believe they were in their 70s at this time. The level of love was very, very low. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Again, I ask you a personal question. Have you given yourself for the love of your spouse? Do you love your spouse as you really ought to love? Notice, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, that he may present your marriage not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, it's not just enough to squeak by with the bare minimal. And a lot of Christians today live their lives that way. I want to know, how much can I do to just say I am saved? Huh? I hear this all the time. I hear this all the time. Well, to me, somebody said to me since I've been here, boy, Brother Danny, you're pretty black and white, aren't you? Well, I do have a prophetic view of salvation. Either you're saved or you're lost, okay? Either you're saved or you're lost. Where are we going to go with this middle road? It has no destination. It has no direction. So it's not existent, right? The middle road is not existent. You're either gloriously saved or you're lost for a place of torment. There's where we stand tonight. And so I want to present our marriages in that concept. So ought men, and here we are back to this concept, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Let me ask you a question, leaders, here tonight. If you tell me that you love your spouse, how can you lay in bed till 8, 9 o'clock and your dear wife with 3 or 4 or 5 children is out there scurrying around in an attempt to get this all together like a chicken that has a brood and is trying to gather them together and keep them all happy? The Bible says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Do we understand that tonight? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Did you ever stop to think that maybe she would enjoy that 8 to 9 o'clock sleep as well? Have you ever thought about that? The other night I was sitting in my chair and I think I was studying, and my wife, bless her dear heart, I love that woman. She was scurrying around and she said, can I get you a cup of tea? And she brought me a cup of tea, and this thing bothers me. I understand her heart. But she worked as hard that day as I did, okay? She brought me a cup of tea and she said, can I go get you this? And she takes off to get me something else. I said, wait a minute, dear. I said, I am 21. I said, you've worked all day today. Please sit down. Please sit down. I have watched men in this low, guttural grunt. Go get this. Go get this. They live in expectancy that sister is going to cater to their every whim and squirm that they may have. Brothers, that's not of the Lord. That's not of the Lord. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Do you love yourself tonight? Do you love yourself tonight? If you love your wife, you love yourself. If you love your wife tonight. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one. People, tonight, have we left father and mother? Or when you have a disagreement, and let's all be honest enough to say tonight we have them, right? We all have those times where we do not see eye to eye. Is there anybody here that doesn't have a disagreement? Is there anybody like that? Oh, I was hoping to see a hand because I want to talk to you right after the service. I want to be enlightened on some things. We have this disagreement. Where is the first place you go? Where is the first place you go? Do you pick up the phone and call mama or daddy? And do you say, he said so and so? And we want to do this. You just tell me. I'm really seeking advice. You know, I'm seeking advice. Tell me, speak into this. Instead of the parents saying, look, you married him. You go back to him and you learn how to love. They begin to speak into it. Well, I think you should do this. Or the way I see it, what do you have to do with it anyway, mom and dad? They're to leave father and mother and listen. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Listen, I ask you leaders tonight, have you left father and mother? And this goes to an intimate place when it comes to a marriage. Do you spend more time with your dad today than you do your wife? Huh? That's all good and well to spend time with your earthly father, you know. I'm not advocating that we dump him like a hotcake and let him to rot. I'm saying this. Where is the love of your life? Where is the love of your life? Is it with that dear sister? And by the evidence of your life, does she experience this concept that you are in love to be in her presence? Huh? Or do you find 1,001 reasons to be gone from home? Do you find reasons like this to leave early in the morning and let her there, never speaking a word or into her life in the morning, and you leave and you find yourself working late, late at night, or maybe you're not even working at night and it's not late. Maybe you're off doing something that I want to do. I'm going to tell you a story about my own life, and I hope you don't mind my own illustrations. In my younger years, I had a concept, and it was this. Time is money. Time is money. And therefore, because of money was in essence, so was time. One night I had a job, and it needed to be done. My ability was on the test of the wire. I was walking a tightrope. This job had to be done that day. I got down to about 5:30 or 6 o'clock. And I looked at that clock and I said, it'll never happen. But because I made this commitment, I felt like I needed to stick to that commitment. I had two of my children with me. There was a blizzard raging outside. And I worked on. And I worked on and I watched those children lie down on a pile of drywall. And they went to sleep. And Dad worked on. And Dad worked on. And Dad worked on. I believe I walked in the house at 1 o'clock that next morning. I had a wife that was sitting on a chair in the corner, and I still can see that picture. The tears were flowing from her cheeks. I said, honey, what's wrong? We're going places. We have money. We're buying things. We're doing stuff. She said, Danny, this is not life. This is not life. Short time after that, God gave me a vision of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! I love that picture. It's implanted in my heart. It'll never leave. But the results of a question that God put to me brought me to a fierce sweat. I trembled. God said, Danny, what are you doing with life? What are you doing with life? You know, brothers, today, I want us to have a vision. The Scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And listen, parents, I want to tell you something. If you want to keep your children out of the church, if you want to keep your children out of the church, just demonstrate to them and talk about the church every opportunity you have. And you'll hit it every time. You'll hit it every time, I guarantee you. They won't be in the church. They will not be into the church. They tell me that today, the faucet of time whereby we impress a child for life is the first 5 years of their life. Listen, that's not much time. The first 5 years of their life, and they say after that they either act or react to every situation that comes into their life. The communists used to say, give me the first 7 years of a child's life and you can have the rest. You see, here's where we are. I think we have it all backwards. It's easy for me to speak tonight because I'm on the other side of the mountain. My family's grown. But I look back and I have gathered experience of what really is going to matter. What's really going to matter in your leadership in your home tonight? Is it whether you're known because you were a very prosperous man, you had the ability to make much money, you had the ability to buy a place in Florida, one in Colorado and one in California, and live here? Is that what you want to be known for? I don't think so. If you're a godly man at all. Or do you want to be known as Abraham was known? God said, I know this man. That He is going to call generation after me. That's the record of Abraham in this book. Because Abraham purposed in his life what really mattered. Tonight, as leaders, as homes, as wives, as one, what really matters? Let me ask you, what really matters? You know, if God tarries, and I live to be 80 years old and I die, I'm going to tell you that within 10 years after my death, most people will never know of my material accomplishments. They will never know what Denny Eicher accomplished building homes, raising sheep, or whatever I felt I was called to do. But they are going to see an evidence of the generations after the descendants of Denny Eicher, what Denny Eicher called his descendants to. They're going to see the evidence of a godly home, or they're going to see the evidence of no godliness at all. And by the way, it takes one generation for somebody to drop the ball when it comes to teaching the ways of the Lord, and then it's extinct. It takes one generation. One generation. I have watched those evidences over and over and over again. And somebody drops the ball. They don't take the accountability that God has called us to. And the next generation, them descendants, do not know the ways of the Lord. Well, you may be thinking tonight, that's not in America. Yes, that's in America. There are thousands of peoples on the street of America today that do not know anything about Jesus Christ. Does that affect us? Does that challenge us? Does that grip our heart? And I'm going to tell you something here tonight as leaders. That may just be you or I's children if we do not teach them and train them the way of the Lord. If we do not live out godliness as God has called us to tonight. You know, brothers, the challenge is great. The battle is real. The power is there. God has empowered you and I with His precious Spirit to walk and to live after the manner of His calling. To teach children in a godly manner. I hear young men say, I'm never going to have children. Well, why not? It's too wicked to raise these children in this world. Oh, no. No, brothers and sisters. That's not true. That's not true. A man who calls his descendants after the ways of the Lord shall know the Lord. They shall know the Lord. Tonight, I don't know. If you're a leader of a home here tonight and you feel overwhelmed, if you feel discouraged, if you feel like, I can't do this. I cannot do this. There is a place of refuge. There is a place of answer. There is a place of security. I would like to show you where. In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Tonight I'm going to ask you, if you're discouraged, if you're overwhelmed, if that marriage is not where it needs to be, I'd like for you to come. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you tonight. I would like to be a part of showing you a place where Jesus Christ will meet you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be defeated. Lift up the hands that hang down. Lift up the hands that hang down. Rejoice, you isles, because Jesus Christ paved the way. Jesus Christ set the pattern. All we have to do is follow it. All we have to do is follow it. Jesus will bless a pure heart. Tonight, if you want to answer that call, come. Remember, surrender is victory. It's not a sign that you are a coward, but it's victory. Oh, victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory. He came to die for me. He came to die for you. He came to set the captives free. He came to give us liberty. Why should we stay bound? Tonight I ask you, why would you stay bound when Christ has given us the power? We sang that song the other night as we walked around this church house. We've got the power, you know. We sing that song, and many times we sing it. We've got the power. See, No, we've got the power, hallelujah, because Jesus Christ is real. It's reality. And in this day and age, we can raise godly children. We can have godly homes. We can have homes that prosper in the vision that Jesus Christ has set for the home. If you want to be prayed with tonight, come. I'm sure there's many people would like to pray with you. Is there anybody like that here tonight? Sisters, the invitation is for you as well. Maybe you have struggled immensely with submitting to the will of the Lord and submitting to your husband here tonight. I want you to change that. I want you to simply come to the foot of the cross and release all of that and simply let go. Brother Jerry, is there someone else that could pray yet with us? You want to come? We'll simply pray. Maybe you as a spouse want to meet your leader here in support. To show him that you truly are willing to submit to this leadership that he desires to be faithful to. If you do, simply come. Is there anyone else? We won't keep this invitation long. I don't mean to take a lot of your time. But if you are here tonight and God's Spirit is speaking to you, I beg of you, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Is there anyone else? If not, Brother Jerry, would you lead out in prayer? I'll close.
Father in heaven, tonight we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way our brother has brought your word out so clearly, so plainly, as to our responsibilities as husbands, as our responsibilities that we have to take care of our wives, to take care of our children, to love them, to support them. Lord, tonight we recognize that we have failed in this. And Lord, tonight we pray for each one of these that have come forward here and have publicly said, I want to do better. They have publicly said, there's areas that I see where I have failed. There's areas I have just missed the mark. And Lord, I just pray for each one of these tonight, Father. Would you be with them? Would you be very close to them, Father? I pray for Elvin and for Ruth, for Jacob and Valerie, for Mike and Deb, and for Dwayne and Karen, and for Jay and Gina. Lord, each one of these, I pray a special prayer of blessing upon them. God, would you touch their lives? Would you touch their marriages? God, would you look down and as they have made this public acknowledgement of wanting to be closer to you, of wanting their marriage to represent a heaven on this earth. We ask, dear Lord, would you give them power? Would you give them strength? Would you enable them in such a way that they could be the men and the women that you want them to be? That they could be the men and women that would live out their marriages the way that you have intended. And as other people look in on their lives, God, that they would see there's something different going on here. They would see that there's something different than just what the world has to offer. But that they could see that Jesus is the head of this marriage. Jesus is the head of this home. And God, I pray a special blessing upon each one of them with their children. God, I pray that you keep their children in your care. God, I pray that you give them wisdom to teach and to train, to admonish, to rebuke, and to correct, and to praise. And to know when it is the right time to do each one of these things. Lord, we ask so much that you would give them wisdom. You have said, Father, that if we ask, you will give us wisdom and you will give it liberally. Tonight, Father, we're asking for your wisdom. We're asking for that heavenly wisdom from you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray.
Father God, tonight we humbly pause before you. Close of this invitation. I rejoice tonight for the victory that's found in these who are kneeling. Oh God, we thank you for the victory in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you were our brother who paved the way, who showed us the way, who led the way. And now you have given us the accountability as mortal man to simply live it out. God, tonight I pray in the name of Christ that you would empower these dear people with your presence, with the infilling of your Spirit to be able to overcome the obstacles that stand in their way. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ tonight that you would hold back the forces of evil, that you would destroy the intent of Satan, and you would put to defeat his very cause. And tonight we claim the blood of Jesus Christ upon these dear brothers and sisters. We claim the victory in the precious name of Jesus Christ for your name to be glorified, your name to be lifted up, your name to be honored, and Jesus Christ to be seen, that many more could say and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and say that I know that my Redeemer liveth. And so tonight we rejoice. Thank you for that precious blood, the precious name of Christ. Amen. God bless each one of you, brothers and sisters. Would you have a word of testimony or something that you would like to share tonight? We're not defeated. We are not defeated. But the way of the cross leads home. Is there anyone who would have a testimony in that area? And God is able to complete and finish that in victory. Closing, I'd like to sing a verse of that song, "Oh, Victory in Jesus." Who will lead us?
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin, the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the indwelling of your Spirit. We commit all of this to you for your keeping, to glorify your precious name, and we desire to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.